Pittsburgh certainly didn't get faster here. Maybe they got a guy that could play straighter lines, maybe go to the net, we'll win a few battles. But in all honesty, just for the sake of shaking things up and having a little bit of a ripple effect in your dressing room, maybe that's at the most what this does for both respective clubs.
When you've won cups in this salary cap era, when you've won cups like Pittsburgh and LA, I think there's never been an easier time for an organization to sell. Chicago didn't want to do that. Is Pittsburgh now looking at that? Have they just worn out the backs of Crosby, Malkin, Letang, to the point now where...
Is that what you feel what this move is? Because I don't feel that move is.
I don't feel that that move is. Mm. But are these clubs now avoiding the inevitable?
Nick Kypreos, former Ranger, Stanley Cup champ with them, and now an NHL analyst up in Canada. That was his take on the Hagelin-Pearson swap on NHL Network. And that's What's on Tap, brought to you by Fatheads Brewery. And What's on Tap is what Kypreos said there about the state of the Penguins. This may be being the beginning of the end. The team on the decline after a glorious run. Four Stanley Cup appearances dating back to 2008. The three cups, the back-to-back cups in there. I look at the NHL standings for tonight's game at PPG Paints Arena. I see a first-place team in Tampa, leads the Eastern Conference in points. They so far have fulfilled preseason predictions, even though now their starting goaltender Vasilevsky is out. And then I see the Penguins, who, as of this second, Chris, there are only three teams in the NHL with fewer points. The St. Louis Blues, the Los Angeles Kings, who they made the deal with, and the New Jersey Devils. And I thought Kypreos made a compelling case here. When you see what the Kings have done, when you see what the Blackhawks are we looking into the not-so-distant future? Have we reached a point like where the Penguins are not going to, at this moment, this year, they're not going to bottom out and finish in last place or miss the playoffs? But how far away are we from that? Are we closer to that than this team getting back to the Stanley Cup Finals?
This team has a better chance of winning the Stanley Cup this year than it does of missing the playoffs. Full stop there. One. Two, they're 3 points out of second place. Like, I hate early season NHL standings porn, I'll call it. Because it neglects the fact that, like, St. Louis is 9 points out of second. Ottawa at 17 points is 7 points out of just second. Mm-hmm. The Kings at 11 points are way out of second. The Penguins are 3 points out. And here's what I didn't like about what Nick Kypreos said. Here's where I felt like his Blackhawks argument fell flat. That team didn't have, in Kane and Taves, it did in Kane, but not so much in Taves, like two big scorers and point producers as its focal points. Mm-hmm. One guy was a two-way player. The other guy was a scoring wing. He's talking about how, you know, maybe this is the end. Look at the three guys that everyone talks about as maybe being, or the four guys if you want to throw Letang in there, that everyone talks about as being bell cows right now. Malkin has 21 points. Crosby, after a slow start, has 19.
Yeah.
Kessel has 19.
Yep.
Letang, we just talked to Jason Mackey.
Been
he said,
great.
He said he's been great.
Yep.
Their core, the most important guys on the ice for them, are still really good.
I totally agree with that. Their core's been outstanding, but how about the supporting cast?
But that's
the
a different story.
The supporting cast stinks. The supporting cast is a joke.
And it's much easier. And it's much easier to get a better cast in than it is to reinvent your core.
Maybe. The problem with them right now is that they've committed a lot of money down the line to supporting cast players. That's a mistake. You think they like the Rust contract right now? You think they like Jack Johnson's contract? You think they like Matt Murray's contract, Olli Maatta? I mean, that there's the problem, is that if you're a top-heavy team, you need to hit on your supporting cast. And they're paying too much for their supporting cast, and they're not getting results. That's a big problem. And they just doubled down on that yesterday. Why are you heard Kypreos say there, and I agree with him on this, they just made a trade for the sake of shaking things up. Why would you panic like that? If you're a believer in their core, right? If you're a believer in the core of the team, why would you just do that? Why would you make a trade to just shake things up, especially when you're taking on more money and more term?
I mean, they've done it before. They make trades. I think in hockey.
Give me an example of when they've made a trade like this.
This early in the season?
Yeah. I mean, at least with Scuderi for Daly, it was a change
of scenery. I don't know if
there's a shakeup
deal.
You were giving away an old man for a guy that could move.
I know. Maybe not a shakeup deal, but they make deals every year. I think to call this a shakeup deal is to cheapen it, because it's very clear to me that they felt like that Pearson was somebody they could buy low on, and Hagelin was somebody that they were a little disappointed in because he was playing on a scoring line and had a whopping 3 points all year.
Yep.
I just look at it as them trying to make a hockey trade. If you want a pillory and crush the Jack Johnson signing, or right now the Russ deal, or the Olli Mäntä deal.
How about the Brassard trade?
Or the Brassard trade. Those are all moves involving guys either in their early 30s and Brassard and Jack Johnson, or guys in their mid-20s, Mäntä and Rust. Those are all situations that I don't love.
Mm-hmm.
But I would feel a lot more like what Kiprios was saying carried weight or held water with me if I didn't look to the top of the team's scoring chart and still see the same names churning away like they always do. They're a Justin Schultz and maybe a couple guys just ticking upward a little bit away from possibly being very good again. I just don't look at like Carl Hagelin or Patrick Hornquist as they're sobbing because his best buddy's gone. I don't look at that as some harbinger of the apocalypse.
I hear you, man, but like take Chicago, for instance. Since they won their third Stanley Cup, they've missed the playoffs once. They've gotten knocked out in the first round twice. With Kane for a season playing at an MVP level 2 years ago, they still had Panarin putting up big points. Duncan Keith was still a legitimate Norris Trophy candidate, and they still weren't good enough. The core of the team delivered. What let them down was giving guys like Patrick Sharp big money.
Well, the Zahosa deal was an onerous
thing
for them.
Patrick Sharp big money, right? I mean, they started to get, Bickle. They started to give their down-the-line players big money, and that hurt them.
I don't think the Penguins have handed out, other than the Jack Johnson deal, a contract as bad as the Bickle contract.
Okay.
And I think the Jack Johnson deal is a very bad one. The other thing the Penguins have going for them compared to the Blackhawks is that, and I have to double check this, but I know the salaries are higher and the cap hits aren't much better. When they sign Malkin and Crosby to those deals, they sign them for lower cap hits than both Kane and Taves command. Both of those are eight-figure cap hits. The Penguins don't have those. That's an extra couple of million freed up. Like, the timing was way better for the Penguins than it was for the Hawks as far as when and what the cap looked like and what max deals looked like. Most onerous contract for Chicago is Jonathan Taves's, given what he doesn't do, which is produce a ton of points. He's got 15 this year, which is damn near
good.
Miraculous for him, though. It's a guy who's never scored, 80 points in an entire career? His high total for a season is 76, and that is the only time in his career he scored above 70. You don't give that guy $12 million a year with a 10.5 cap
hit. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree
with
that.
They get banged for their buck at the top, which is still the most important thing, and I don't think they've aged out of their prime.
Okay, how about
there.
Their supporting cast,
it's
though?
Not
Tell me who you feel good about. Who do you like in their supporting
Gensel.
Cast right now?
Gensel. I like Gensel.
How about
a
his
lot.
Numbers? You okay with them so far?
I have belief that they will uptick.
Okay, how about Hornquist?
He's a warhorse. I think he the first 3 years of this deal, he's going to be fine.
Okay. Even though the production so far has been disappointing.
I feel good about Dumoulin.
Okay.
I feel good about, Letang's not supporting cast. I feel good about Schultz when he's healthy, which is something I can't control. You know, I feel good about some of the guys that I think are going to populate the bottom parts of their lines.
You also, when you are a team that has so many elite players that you're playing a lot of money to, you need to find cheap labor. One of those guys who is, you know, his contract and where he's at in his career that would give you that is Daniel Sprong.
Well, I was about to
and
say
he
that.
He can't get out of the doghouse. And if you believe reports, and I do, like Jason Mackey, I trust, they're about to trade him for pennies on the dollar.
Well, I
That's
hope that
not
they don't.
Good.
I hope that Jim Rutherford, who is known for being deliberate and brutally honest in his interviews about what he says and not hiding things, was putting a little red herring out there. I hope that he decides to basically foist Daniel Sprong on Mike Sullivan and force him to try to figure out a way to make it work up in that top six. Do you know why? I don't care if Crosby and Malkin don't want to play with him either, because it has to be the ask has to be made of one of them to say, look what this guy can do. He might frustrate the hell out of you, but look, you know what he's capable of, and play him up there.
I just do not get why you would trade for another guy who's not living up to his contract. Why would you do that? You already have enough guys who populate your lineup who are fringe top six, bottom six players who aren't giving you bang for your buck. So why would you bring in another guy like that?
I think because in their minds, this is one of those deals where he wasn't producing for somebody else. Like, our guys that aren't producing for us are one problem. This guy wasn't producing for a team that's basically punting on the season. You get him out of L.A., you get him with a team that still has all that high-end talent producing points, maybe you get the real Tanner Pearson, and maybe maybe the real Tanner Pearson's the guy that can score 25 goals a season, the guy that can play a prototypical power forward
role. I don't know.
Role.
I look at this as maybe another Riley Sheahan deal, where you look at where the guy was drafted, you look at what he did 3 or 4 years ago, his recent production isn't good, and you just believe you can fix the guy. How many times can you do that? I mean, it's worked with defensemen, worked with Schultz, worked with Daly. I guess it worked to some extent with Oleksiak. I don't know. If he was making $2 million and it's a one-year deal, sign me up. I don't like the idea of paying Pearson $3.75 million for 3 years just on a whim that he changes his game and becomes more productive because of who he's playing with.
I don't.
Jim Rutherford,
I like
said,
it. Oh.
Jim Rutherford said yesterday, our identity is still our identity. We're still going to be a speed team. Really? You just traded the guy that personified that.
Yeah, but
explain
he was also a
one.
Guy who had, was on the wrong side, I would think, of his career as far as like his speed being as lethal as it was. He was 30-plus. He's older than Pearson by a lot. He made a little bit more money, although I know the Penguins are eating some of that, so it's a straight, as people say, one-to-one deal for salaries. I think this is an attempt to try to get younger. The Blackhawks got older overnight. That was the other thing. Guys stopped producing, but they got old all at once. Not just in their production or lack thereof, Pony, but mm-hmm. in their actual ages. The one saving grace for the Penguins is that outside of that core, a lot of these guys that people are a little down on are 24, 25, 26, in Sprong's case, like 10, you know? Like, I look at it and
they're not going to give Sprong a chance.
I know. But I mean, other guys. Rust is 26. He's not past the point of saying, well, that we've seen the best Brian Rust. I think you could reasonably say we've seen the best Carl Hagelin there was going to be. And the current version of him on Evgeny Malkin's line had 3 bleeping points. How hard is it to be that non-productive? And you know what? If Patrick Hornquist and the rest of these guys, you say that trades just to shake things up maybe aren't great. That's not a great reason.
It's not.
You know what? If those guys were all deeply upset about this, good. Because I, for one, am sort of tired of watching them sleepwalk through the first 2 months of the year and just chalk it up
to.
They
won't sleepwalk
tonight.
We're
the Penguins.
They won't. No Crosby. They got to pick it up, and they got a great team in town. You just heard Nick Kypreos say there that he doesn't like the state of the Penguins. He thinks that they're closer to being the Blackhawks and the Kings, two teams that have gone downhill since winning Stanley Cups. Do you agree with that? Is this team in trouble?